Open your Bibles, please, to the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. Reading from verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. The Gospel Folio Press in Grand Rapids, we specialize in material for Sunday schools. And among the things that we have is what we call flannel block. It's one thing that my brother invented and others followed. They used to have a flannel, and then you had flannel put on the flannel, but now his idea was to have blotting paper, but you couldn't print on blotting paper, but it's being done now. But I used to like to see the scenery, the background. Might be a missionary story, and you'd have a background of Africa. The children of Israel going to Canaan, the background of the desert. And then the teacher would put figures into that background. We have the Pilgrim's Progress like that. Background, and then the figures in that background. And what we have in our lesson this morning is the landscape of the blessed life. And then Paul puts figures into that background. Wives and husbands and children. And the background is the background of risen life in Christ. And then we have the figures that make the background live. Now there are three things that we have here as the background, the landscape of the blessed life. The peace of Christ, the word of Christ and the name. In verse 15, you'll notice in the margin of your Bible, if you have a Scofield Bible, it's Christ there. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Then in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The peace of Christ ruling. The word of Christ indwelling. And then, in verse 17, the name of the Lord Jesus influencing. That's the background of the risen life. Let the peace of Christ rule. That's His own peace. You'll notice it's twofold. Peace in Scripture. I leave with you His legacy. My peace I give unto you. When our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He did not leave anything because He had nothing to leave. His mother, to John, and in that beautiful robe that devoted women made for Him, they cast lots over that. He had no property to leave, but He left something that the world knows nothing about, cannot give, cannot take away. My peace I leave with you. Now there are five things that we want to notice about this peace. First of all, it's His peace, the peace of Christ. Secondly, we want to know that it's the place in our hearts, enthroned in our hearts. The word is rule, preside, umpire, or arbitrate. Peace decides all questions. Nothing must disturb. There must be peace. Third, we have calling. God's voice calls us to share in Christ's peace. And then we notice that it's a common gift in one body. It characterizes the body of Christ, peace. And fifthly, all this leads to thanksgiving. When our Lord Jesus was here on earth, there's one thing that marked His sojourn, perfect peace. Nothing disturbed Him. There was perfect peace all along the way. And He says, I give you my peace. That's my legacy. And we should enjoy it and have that peace enthroned in our hearts. What is peace? Nothing can disturb us. In an art school, it was a contest. The prize would go to the artist who painted a picture depicting peace. And they all got busy, vying one with another to get the prize.
peaceful scenes, Placid Lake and so on, but that wasn't peace. That could be disturbed in a little while. Picture that got the prize was a picture of a turbulent sea. And a rock reared its head above the raging billows. A cloudy, stormy sky. But that rock was cleft. And in the cleft of the rock was a robin singing a cheery note. Peace. Peace. I had the privilege of being in that cathedral where Bishop Bickersmith, I think that's his name, served, who wrote that lovely hymn, Peace, Perfect Peace. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrow surging round on Jesus' bosom. Not the peace is found. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away. On Jesus' bosom they are safe. In Jesus' keeping they are safe. And we have perfect peace. It's the peace that our blessed Lord enjoyed when he was here below. And that's his legacy. He could have left millions to the church. He could have given them property. But what he left is his peace. And we're called to that peace to which we also are called. And it's the voice of God that speaks peace. On the stormy billow, his voice quieted the storm. And there was a great calm. And no matter what it may be, the circumstances that we pass through, we can have the peace of God. I just finished reading the life of Frances Nightingale, a thrilling story. I've read summaries and so on, but this was a full, detailed description of her life and the times in which she lived. She knew what war was. She knew what disturbance was. She knew what it was to be tossed back and forth. And she had to endure times of deepest distress. In her little office in Britain, in the room that she occupied, was one text, In Me Peace. She had pictures of the scenes over yonder in the Crimea, but in me, peace. Oh, beloved, that's our legacy, and that's the background. And you could put anything in there, the troubles in the household, in the church. You can put figures in there, but don't put someone who disturbs in there. The Lord Jesus said to his own, when he sent out those who were to go to Israel in view of his kingdom, whatsoever house ye enter into, say, peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace isn't welcome there, don't you go. Why not? God has called us to peace. And we could give many instances in the Word of God, even in marriage life. If that unsaved husband isn't willing to dwell with you, you're called to peace. But don't think you have a right to marry again. Separation is in Scripture. Remarriage not. But what do we have? Peace. In church affairs, what's to decide it? Peace. It's the umpire. And if you know anything about baseball and football and so on, you never quarrel with what? The umpire. And the umpire, deciding all questions, settling things, is peace. We're called to it in one body. God wants peace. Peace. And then all this leads to thanksgiving and being thankful. Now, if you want to put down six things, you'll notice that we have thanksgiving in Colossians six times. In chapter 1 and verse 3, as we view our inheritance, we give thanks. Thanks to God in view of the inheritance that is ours. Secondly, thanks to God because He has fitted us for that inheritance. We are the heirs and we are going to possess that inheritance. And that's reason for thanksgiving. Third, we live in the joy of it. Verse 7 of chapter 2. And then our verse, the bond of fellowship, is thanksgiving. Verse 15. You know, the grumbling spirit divides. That's no bond. Here we have thanksgiving, being thankful. The bond of fellowship is thanksgiving. Then in chapter 17, thanksgiving is the joy of thanksgiving. And in chapter 4 and verse 2, we have the predominant note in prayer. Verse 2 of chapter 4, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I think it was Dr. Wilson who said he was visiting a dear saint of God who was sick. And he said, shall we have prayer? And the saint of God said, yes, mostly thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should mark our entire pathway in this wilderness world. I'll never forget a dear brother, I loved him. He used to go through the Psalms. And in every psalm he found Christ. And I didn't find fault with him because throughout all Scripture, Christ in all the Scriptures. But there was church trouble. And the poor fellow, reason left its throne. And he was committed. But in the city, was a dear child of God who took pity on him. and secured permission to take him out to her home. I was in her home many times. And then she'd bring him back again. She was the only one who had that privilege. It was Thanksgiving Day. And as she was taking him back to the institution, she said, "John, you know what it is today?" "I don't care." "Well, it's Thanksgiving Day. I have anything to be thankful for." "Well, listen. You come to my home and I'll take you back. But I want to have a little prayer with you. Get down on your knees." And John got on his knees. Now she said, "Think, isn't there anything that you can thank God for?" "Well," he said, "the only thing in the world I can thank God for is you." "Thank God then." And when John thanked God, for the sister beside him, the spell was broken. Then he began to thank God for salvation. Thank God for the hope. And dear John was delivered out of the prison in which he was finding himself into the full light of the sphere that we're talking about. Thanksgiving. If Israel had continued to thank God from the Red Sea all through the wilderness, what a different story it would have been. They murmured, they complained, they quarreled. That's not the background. God puts these figures on the background of peace that leads to thanksgiving. And what's the next characteristic of this background? The Word of Christ, dwelling in you richly in all wisdom. Christ is the author and the subject of the Word of God. And it's to find a home in our hearts, dwelling there richly. But what will be the outcome of this? We'll share what we know. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. The Word of God leads to joy and the heart singing. Singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. When I think back, I thank God for my childhood days. Every morning, my father would rise at 4 o'clock. I would get up at 5. He would be reading the Word of God and sing. Morning. We had brethren visiting us, Brother Sheldrake and Brother McEwen. Brother Sheldrake came down one morning and told my father, he said, "You're a wealthy man, Mr. Pell." "Yes," he says, "I know." "Well," he said, "you know that you invested $400 in heaven this morning?" He said, "Is that so?" He said, "You know,
you woke me up about 4 o'clock, and I thought, I can't sleep anymore. I'll go and have my devotions. And I read Psalm 69. And it's a psalm that throbs with anguish and bitterness. But in it, David says, I will sing unto the Lord, and this will please him more than a bullock that hath horns. Now, he figured out a bullock that hath horns would cost so much. Now, you didn't give the Lord that bullock with horns, but you gave him a song. And you sang so many songs this morning. So you've invested so much money in heaven. Brother McEwen was there. And he went to the Detroit conference after he'd been there. And I was there too. And he said, you know, folks, he said, I was in that Pell home, just like heaven there, no night. Bill Pell keeps you talking till 2 o'clock in the morning, and the old man wakes you up at 4 with his singing. There's no night there. Only the light of heaven. Singing. Singing with grace in your hearts. Now, I'd like to say a little word about that next. To the Lord. Bill and I were called to a town in southern Michigan. And he said, what you speaking on tonight? I said, I'm speaking on worship. Well, he said, I'll see if I can find some songs in this hymn book that are to the Lord. That's worship. And we found many songs that were about the Lord. Hymns, spiritual songs. But you know, you have to go to the little flock or the believer's hymn book to find a lot of songs to the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, Thou with joy we worship Thee. We know Thou hast redeemed us by dying on the tree. That's the song he's looking for. That's what he wants. We can sing gospel songs and thank God for the hymns we have. But in worship we must sing to the Lord. We had a dear brother. He loved the Lord too. But every Lord's Day he'd give out hymns at 35. He loved the song. Christians, go and tell of Jesus. He liked the swing of it. And he liked the song. And I got nowhere with him. Bill tried. He said, now listen, brother. This is a meeting for worship. And we have to give praise to the Lord. And our songs are to be directed to Him. And he said, you know, in the back of the believer's hymn book, you have a list. Now pick a song out of those songs of worship. Next Sunday, he gave out the same song. Christians, go and tell of Jesus. Bill got up. He says, well, brother, that's a lovely song to sing at the end of the meeting. So we'll wait till the end of the meeting and we'll sing your song. And during the meeting it was singing what? Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, it doesn't say anything about a beautiful voice. It doesn't say anything about a nice tune. I bought Brother Ironside's life over there, and I've been reading it. And Brother Ironside went into a worship meeting with one of his associates, and he said, how'd you like the meeting? Well, he said, it's quite different from what I'm accustomed to, but that singing. Oh, he said, did you think that was bad? He said, you should have heard that singing when it got to heaven. To all our prayers and praises, Christ adds his sweet perfume. And love the censer this censer raises these odors to consume.
The tune didn't go to heaven.
And all those cracked voices, and one a little lower than the other, and one little... No, you don't shop it, do you? You dried it. I like nice singing, but I'm awfully glad that the Lord will listen to singing that isn't nice, if it's unto Him. Unto Him. But then we have the name of Jesus. Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And there's the other characteristic of the risen life. The peace of Christ ruling, the word of Christ indwelling, and the name of Jesus influencing, writing His name on all our actions. Our whole life will be in the savor of the burnt offering. And you expect me to give some illustrations out of my life? I want to tell you how that there's a verse in this chapter that changed my life completely. Verse 23. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Now this evening, please God, we'll talk about the figures as we see them in this background of peace and joy and so on. I helped my father in the paper hanging and painting and decorating business, and I didn't like it at all. I wanted to be an artist. And one of the ladies we worked for was wealthy. And her wealth came through her painting and teaching. And on the side, she would give me lessons in art. And I wanted my folks to send me to an art school, but I was the oldest in the family. And so I started working when I was 12 years old. I helped my father. But I hated my work. I didn't find joy in it at all. And especially where we were working that day, the lady was kind of particular, and she would go after my father and see that it was put on right, and I said, Dad, why don't you just put it up there and let her smooth it over herself? And she'd come and see if I had enough paste on the paper, and accidentally on purpose, I shouldn't tell this, but accidentally on purpose, I'd get her hand, and then she'd have to go and wash it, and there's peace for a little while. Well, this morning I was reading, and my reading was in Colossians. I came to this verse. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. But that's absolutely impossible for me. My heart isn't in it. I'm glad when it rains and we can't paint. I'm glad when quitting time comes. I'm not doing this heartily. My heart isn't in it. I read again. Whatsoever ye do. Do it heartily. Put your heart into it. And then I finished it. As to the Lord and not unto men. I gave myself a preach. I said, Peter Pale, if the Lord Jesus came to you this morning and told you to paper that room for Him, would you do it? Yes, I would.
He did everything for me. Lord, you left heaven's glory all for me. Will you do this for me? Yes. And that verse put joy into paper hanging and painting. And my wife, I'm a little confused this morning. My father said to me, Peter, you'll never get another job until you enjoy this one. And so I thought I was doomed for life. I would never like pasting and papering, and the dust of it gave me sinus trouble. I thought it came from that anyhow. And painting, I hated the smell of paint. And to enjoy doing that, never! But you know, this verse changed my life. Bill and I would trudge through snow, get off the interurban, and snow so high, and I'd say, Bill, it's for the Lord. Putting up the tent, Bill, it's for the Lord. Hanging paper, for the Lord. Obeying the call of President Wilson, for the Lord. Whatsoever you do, the cook in the kitchen or the preacher in the pulpit, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. It puts delight into drudgery. And the wife says, I'll obey you, my dear husband, because you love me, but I'm obeying you because the Lord tells me to do it. And the child says, I'll do what you want me to do, mother, because the Lord tells me to do it. When I was in Pittsburgh, they had a big meeting of businessmen. And a breakfast, and they wanted me to speak. And they didn't want sermons. They wanted businessmen who had some experience to tell in connection with their business. And I said to this brother, how am I going to fit into that group? Well, he says, I don't know. You'll have to do it yourself. I'm taking you there. And so I started my message by saying that I worked for a man called Woodrow Wilson. And that's how I started it. And I preached on this verse, whatsoever you do. And a brother came to me later on. He said, Peter, he said, I'm a businessman, and I had headache after headache. Had a group of girls working for me, and I used to go home all tired out, make it hard for my wife and for myself. I didn't have peace. I didn't have joy. And I thought surely that I'd get ulcers and after a while nervous frustration. I was headed for it. You know, after you spoke that morning, I looked at those girls and said, you can't disturb my peace. Come with your problems. I'm here for the Lord. We've had on Friday nights a group, Roman Catholics, drug chasers. Two of the boys at least were just, one was chased out of the house and the other fellow, the police didn't go after him anymore. They said, we won't lock him in jail. He's going to die after a while anyhow. Leave him alone. but God saved them. And the one Roman Catholic fellow, he worked for Burger King. And so somebody asked him, they said, Tim, Donahue was his name, Tim, what did you do today? He said, I made 18 hamburgers for the Lord. I thought, well, at least a little of my message soaked in. I made 18 hamburgers for the Lord. I didn't feel like preaching a sermon this morning, and I didn't, did I? If you get nothing else but that verse, whatsoever ye do, but listen, of the Lord you will receive what? Who's going to pay you? I closed my Bible too soon. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Did you ever hear this expression? Are you in full-time service? I want to tell you that you should never use that. Who do you serve the rest of the time, please? Every Christian is in full-time service. Whatsoever ye do, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Lord, for obedience. Christ is his millennial term. Messiah. And the reward for service now will be realized in the kingdom by and by. I'm going to close 4 minutes early this morning. A little bit tired. Don't forget my text. Whatsoever you do. Behind the wheel, in the kitchen, in the office. Let us keep busy. Brother Littleproud got me to give the illustrations for the manual. And I said to him, but I don't use illustrations. He said, I know that. I listen to you. You had a great big wall there. You had Darby, you had Kelly, you had all this, and your theology was all right, but you didn't have a single window. So your job is to get the illustrations for the manual. He said, that's how we learn. By illustrations. And so, I've been giving the illustrations. And I believe that that's the way the Lord taught. He stated, he illustrated, and he applied. He stated, Christians should not worry. He illustrated, birds don't worry. Flowers don't worry. And if you did worry, if you're a Zacchaeus, by enough worrying you'll be Saul, son of Kish. And then after he gives these illustrations showing how worthless worry is, then he applied it. Be ye careful for nothing. Careful for nothing? prayerful in everything, thankful for anything. And that's the secret of a happy life. Shall we pray? Father, we thank Thee that we have all things in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee that Thou hast not only called us to share with Him the inheritance by and by, but Thou hast called us into Thy service now. And each one of us are servants of the best of masters. Oh, how lovely it is to have the Lord Jesus as our Lord, our Master, and to hear His voice. May we be sure that we are in Thy will, Lord. There are some things we cannot do to Thy glory. There are some things for which we will not receive a reward. But we do thank Thee for Thy discipline, our Father. We do thank Thee that Thou wilt correct us, and Thou wilt bring us out of the way of wandering, out of the detour, out of doing our own will. Thou wilt bring us back to the upward track by the touch of Thy hand upon us. Father, we just pray that until Thou dost take us to glory, it may be our one delight to do Thy will, to serve Thee in every avenue of life. We commend ourselves to Thee now. We ask Thy blessing upon us throughout the day and then in the evening.